You are listening to Insight. I'm Pamela Wu in for Beth Ruyak. The recent suicide of chef and author Anthony Bourdain sent shockwaves through the restaurant industry, and Sacramento's community of restaurateurs and chefs felt his loss greatly. In Bourdain's honor, the bartenders at Sacramento Restaurant Crew have committed to donating the tips from their weekly late-night service during the month of June to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The restaurant's owners have agreed to match every dollar donated to the cause. Joining us today to talk about the fundraiser are bar manager Nick Amano-Dolan, chef Billy No, and partner Kimio Bazett from Crew Restaurant. Welcome all of you to Insight.
Thank you.
Now, before Anthony Bourdain had a show on CNN, he had one on the Travel Channel that was titled No Reservations, and that's the name of your after-hours weekend happy hour, but spelled NGO, like Chef Billy's last name. Whose idea was this event, and how did Bourdain inspire it?
So it was kind of a team. It was a kind of a team effort. One of our other bartenders was a late night. And we were talking about the event, and in sitting down and talking with the entire group, we just knew that we wanted to kind of have the same sort of spirit in terms of Japanese soul food and just kind of more of an industry guided event. And so, really, it was a whole team effort to come up with the idea. But Bourdain was definitely a big inspiration for the energy that it was going to hopefully bring.
What was the reaction among the three of you when you learned of Bourdain's death? And Nick, let's start with you.
Well, I know the three of us weren't together, but for me personally, it was a surreal moment. I got a text from my head bartender saying what had happened. Immediately looked on social media and saw the different posts and everything. And so it was, it felt surreal. And as the week went on, it sort of hit me in different ways. But I know that definitely doing the event and having everyone being able to be there and talk and be a little more open about it definitely helped with the whole process.
Kimio, how about you? Your reaction?
Hopefully this doesn't seem dramatic, but it kind of felt like I lost a friend. You know, I was going through emails and a Rolling Stone email popped up and there was disbelief. I thought it was like a prank almost at first. And then I'm like, oh, wow, this is it's nothing you ever would have suspected. You know, the guy was on top of the world.
You said he felt like a friend. What made you feel close to him?
You know, I've said this before, but he kind of had this everyman sort of sensibility to him, you know? It's a guy we would have hung out with, you know? He drank and he did jiu-jitsu. Billy's into jiu-jitsu and Nick's a martial arts guy. He just was just a normal guy, you know? And I read his books and had a very, such a familiar and casual but clever style of communication, you know.
Chef Billy No, how about you?
Yeah, just shocked, just like what Kimio was saying, you know, like the every man's sensibility. You feel really a relatable person. So it's just a shock with him being on top of the world, doing everything, like seemed like a really strong dude, and all of a sudden, like, it's just shock.
Yeah. Now, you've decided to mourn in a way that helps others. Kimio, tell us about the No Reservations fundraiser and how does that work?
So it was all Nick's idea, honestly. My initial thought after some of the shock wore off that morning was we should do something, but I hadn't really fleshed it out.
Yeah, it was really quick. I think it was in the afternoon. Nick
called
and sent us text, and what do you guys think about this? We're like, that's dope. Let's do it. So we started that night. It was Friday.
So, well, you could describe how.
Yeah, Nick, what made you think of it?
It happened very organically. I think I thought of it kind of in through the text. I just wanted to start a conversation and saying, hey, let's do something. And so after texting Kimio, Bill, calling those guys and just saying, hey, let's do something, the idea just kind of formed itself along with their input as well. So, yeah, just super, super organic. It happened really, really fast. And, you know, kind of as even the first event went, we were adjusting it and changing it, and then the idea for bringing in other people came in. Crew is going to match all the donations, so it's something that has just happened really, really quickly. But I'm definitely excited about the direction that it went in and how it all formed.
He's being modest. I mean, this guy's how old are you?
25,
and this is how he makes a living. And to donate and get his guys to be gladly donate all their tips late at night, anyway. I mean, that's pretty significant, you know. Pretty selfless.
Yeah, so that's the first thing he said when he called or texted. He was like, we want to do something, so we're just going to donate all our tips. And I was like, oh.
Are you sure? Yeah. Pretty impressive. We're proud of this guy.
Nick, how much has been raised so far?
We've done about $2,500 so far. Yeah, and so two more weekends to go. And I think after this event, hopefully it's inspired a lot of my bartenders now who are talking to me, asking me what are we going to keep doing moving forward, which is awesome. I think that's the best thing that can come about all of this, is that it's not just an event. It's not just 1 month and we remember and then we forget until the next tragedy happens. Hopefully something like this, at least in our industry, it's something to keep the conversation going. And so hopefully we keep moving forward and adding more to what we can donate and what we can help out with.
I'm talking with the management of Sacramento's Crew Restaurant, bar manager Nick Amano-Dolan, chef Billy No, and partner Kimio Bazett. Throughout the month of June, the restaurant will donate tips from its late night happy hour to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline in honor of the late chef Anthony Bourdain. The three of you are talking about continuing this conversation, and the restaurant industry is known for being tough. The kitchen culture in particular is tough. The hours are weird. There's a lot of pressure. Can you talk about mental health as an issue in the restaurant industry?
Wow. Yeah. We're actually having in conjunction with the mayor's office and Mulvaney's on Monday with a group of industry folks, and Patrick spearheaded the whole thing. Kind of a mental health first aid sort of clinic, I guess you could say, because it is so prevalent. I don't know if it's the stress and the hours, like you mentioned. Substance abuse seems to go hand in hand for a lot of people. It's a difficult business at best, you know, and there's definitely a culture of going out with your colleagues after work and drinking, and for some people, drugs. I mean, not us, but... and it takes over pretty quickly. So addiction, I think, is a component of that. And it's time to talk about it and time to sort of create change.
Billy, I see you nodding along. What are your thoughts about these efforts to move forward and destigmatize mental health issues, especially in the light of Bourdain's death?
Oh, yeah, definitely agree. You know, it needs to be more open for people to talk about it. You know, just like this whole stigma of this culture, the chefs are, you know, like work hard, party hard, and, you know, not talking about their feelings. But, you know, it's been a crazy year in the industry. I think we've lost a few friends to this, and all of a sudden with Bourdain, you know, really hits.
Yeah. Nick, you're younger, as Kimio pointed out. You're 25. Mm-hmm. You're beginning your career. What are your thoughts about mental health issues in the restaurant industry?
Well, it's interesting because I think that the restaurant industry kind of draws in the eccentric personalities of the people that didn't want to be behind a desk 9 to 5 and whatnot. And so with that, you get these people that are really energetic, really, really good with people and want to be out in the open, but also a lot of times the same type of people that are struggling with their own demons inside of their head. So I think it's a combination kind of the type of people initially that the restaurant industry attracts, and then also the lifestyles and whatnot that these guys were talking about that goes forward. So for me, I think I've found a big enjoyment in terms of trying to find the balance in it. We have some guys that work at Crew that are really, really healthy, and I think opposite to the norm in terms of they start their day off by going to Pipeworks and go climbing, or they go to Asha and Float. And I think hopefully these actions and these events and whatnot lead to more balance with that. And I know that, you know, like Kimio said in talking with the mayor, I know the Sacramento Bartenders Guild, health, mental health, and just healthy lifestyles in general is the biggest focus right now. So hopefully that keeps happening.
I'll pose this question to all three of you, our last question, and I'll start with you, Billy. What do you think will be Anthony Bourdain's lasting legacy?
Can I not go first?
Sure. Why don't we go? I'll give you a moment to think about that. Let's go to Kimio.
I think it probably transcends, you know, food, and hopefully it's not just suicide, although if that gets conversation going about that, then that's not a bad thing either, unfortunately. Probably unity and travel and exploration, but really unity. You know, I mean, the food ended up being the common denominator, but you think about it, you know, a formerly working chef that from New York eating noodles in Vietnam with the president of the United States, and it's like, you know, it all seems a little smaller but also bigger. And I think that he taught us to get out there and meet new people and see the world and realize it's not, doesn't have to be scary or anything like that. You know, yeah. It's just food and it's just people.
Yeah, there's so much connectedness.
Absolutely.
There. Nick?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think it's really, really interesting in terms of the full spectrum of the lesson that he taught. I think to the general public, he kind of showed everyone that the restaurant industry and all of that is cool. And then I think towards the end, he's now kind of shown us as well that it is difficult as well. So that's the one of the biggest things that I'll remember him is just kind of the full circle of that, of showing how interesting and exciting this industry can be, but how difficult and stressful it can be as well. I think the biggest impact, though, is really just how food transcends culture. And through eating someone's dish, you can really learn about who they are as a person, who they are as people, and can really connect people through that. So I think that's a great, great lesson he's left behind.
And Billy, now you've had some time to think about this now.
I'd say it's still his food, you know. It's just food. Food brings people together, and it's not about, like, crazy fancy meals or anything. It's just good food. Like, he loved sitting down in those little tiny chairs, eating a bowl of noodles, yeah. Just as much as a $500 omakase, you know. It's just about, you know, trying new things. Go out and try new dishes, go travel. That's the lasting legacy, I think.
Crew holds its late night happy hours called No Reservations on Fridays and Saturdays from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m. with tips throughout the month of June going to suicide prevention. Crew is located in East Sacramento. Bar manager Nick Amano-Dolan, Chef Billy No, and partner Kimio Bassett, thanks to the three of you for being on Insight.
Thanks for having us.
We have much more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.